glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. So we'll read the translation of this beautiful song of Narottam Das. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatt and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna's Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the stone and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Gadayam Dadati Svapatam Digam Adadanastri Nandantai Vidam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujot Lisyam Janmukandani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So I feel myself very fortunate to have known Jayananda Prabhu. Unfortunately, I was always up in the northwest corner of the United States in Portland, Oregon. So we didn't get so much association, but we always used to come down from Portland to San Francisco for Rath Yatra. So we were able to get some association. Jayananda also came through Portland when he was in charge of Radha Damodar Bus, so we got some association with Jayananda. Because of that, we feel ourselves very fortunate, because he's the first certified saint, stamped and approved saint of ISKCON. And he was very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada, because he was always willing to do any service to satisfy Srila Prabhupada. So he was born 1939 in Ohio, one state in the United States, very noted for being very conservative type of state, farming state. And he was raised in a regular old American family. He went to Ohio State University, majored in some type of engineering, I can't remember right now. And he was supposed to go on, get a job, work 9 to 5, raise a family. But somehow, within his heart, he had no taste for joining the rat race. We call it the rat race in English. But instead of, like most of us, we were also wondering what is the use of just working all day in some 50th floor of some air-conditioned office all day long. They come to homes and house in the suburbs. It's actually they're working all day long just so they can make the payment on the car that has to take them to work, so that they can work all day and make the payment for the house that they can't live in because they're downtown all day long. Only for a few hours they come home, eat some dinner and go to sleep. They sleep there, but they don't live there actually. So we were saying, all of us, most of the young people at that age, of course he was 10 years older than most of us. So unfortunately we rejected that type of standard materialism and accepted it. We thought we were being renounced, but we were accepting a more gross type of materialism of drugs and free love and this and that. But Jayananda was very pure. He was 10 years ahead of us, so he never got involved in drugs and all of illicit sex and all these different types of activities. He never was a smoker and all these things. So he didn't want to do a normal job, so he eventually moved to San Francisco. Somehow or other he ended up in San Francisco. It was a nice climate in the West Coast. Ohio is very freezing cold in the winter, snow and all. But one interesting point about when he was living in Ohio, when he was going to the college there, because this year Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu was not here to tell the story, but one time Bhakti Siddhanta met one Punjabi gentleman in Delhi. And somehow they were talking about Rath Yatra and Bhakti Siddhanta was talking about this fellow who built the carts, how pure he was, and how he was from. And he mentioned somehow that he was from Ohio. And just by chance, he had run into this Punjabi fellow, just by chance. He wasn't a devotee or anything, just ran into him in Delhi somehow, or they were together. So, gee, the guy you're talking about sounds like a friend I used to know, because I was a roommate. I was a foreign exchange student, and I roommated with one guy. He never drank, he never went chasing after girls, he was always busy in his studies, always thinking of talking about God. So Bhakti Siddhanta said, well, he did go to the University of Ohio. Most people only know him by his devotee name, but his karmi name was Jim Kaur. As soon as he said Jim Kaur, that Punjabis are very tough people. He broke down and started crying because that was his friend that he roomed with. And just by chance, Bhakti Siddhanta had run into him. So even in college, we know college life, we all just get, now we're away from our parents, we can hang loose, we can do all kinds of things, we can drink and make merry and all kinds of crazy things. But he said this guy was always talking about God, and I never saw him drink, he was never interested in chasing after girls. So even in his college life, Jayananda was always very pure, not like any of us, or at least myself, I can't talk for you. So anyway, he ended up in San Francisco driving a taxi cab, because it wasn't like where you have a boss, you're your own boss, and you can drive when you want and not, and just don't have to interact so much with the material world. But he wasn't satisfied. He was thinking there must be something more to life than this. And he happened to see a poster, or he saw a newspaper article, something he saw that mentioned that a guru from India was coming to San Francisco, and that everybody was going to meet him and supposed to bring flowers, incense, and bells. So he thought maybe somebody, because India was, even when I was a child, we always remember India was famous for spiritual wisdom. Even as a child, I remember, especially spiritual wisdom, three things that I remember as a child, India. That there was spiritual wisdom, there were sadhus who lived there, who were very renounced and very spiritual, And there were sacred cows. And there were sacred rivers. We never heard of Jamuna, but we all heard it. As a child, everybody, we heard of Ganga, although we called it Ganges. So these three things, so those two, one was sacred cows and sacred rivers. This is what, as a child, India was famous for to me. Now, India is one of the number one exporters of beef in the world. And we daily see the condition of the rivers, so-called sacred rivers, completely polluted. This is a great shame. Because these are the two things that were famous, sacred cow and sacred rivers. So anyway, he thought, this guy's coming from India, maybe he's got some spiritual wisdom, because in the material life, there's no taste. Jayananda, no taste. So he went to the airport. He was practically the only person in a suit and tie. Nice white shirt, tie, and jacket. Everybody else was wearing, even the devotees. Mukunda had a Merlin robe, and all the other hippies, they were wearing bells and feathers and dressed in all kinds of wild ways and completely ragtag group of people came to the airport to, of course, the only other person who had a tie was Allen Ginsberg. Because Allen Ginsberg was very excited that Prabhupada was coming to the West Coast, because he appreciated Prabhupada very much. So he was the only other person who had a tie. So he saw Prabhupada in the airport. As soon as he saw Prabhupada, Prabhupada was just, it practically looked to him, it looked like Prabhupada wasn't even walking, he was floating across the airport floor. And he looked so peaceful, so satisfied. He'd never seen anybody like Prabhupada, so he knew right then within his heart, this is my spiritual master. So he came back to the temple. That time was on Frederick Street, which is right off of Haight-Ashbury. Everybody remembers in the late 60s and early 70s, Haight-Ashbury was where it was at. That was a center of hippie land. In fact, the paper said, Swami has come to hippie land to save the hippies. Prabhupada said, yes, I'm going to make them into happies. So he came to the storefront, then he started coming around and he started giving donations to Srila Prabhupada. Because everybody, none of us, we had any jobs. We were all hippies. We had no job. We just panhandled and somehow managed to get something to eat. We come to the temple so we get something to eat or whatever. Nobody had a job. And there was no, at that time, there was no Harinam Sankirtan. Everybody just sort of hung around and nobody did anything. And he was the only one who had a job. He was driving a cab and he started giving Prabhupada money so they could pay the rent for the temple. So then gradually, he was the only one, of course he had, because he had the education and he wasn't blown out by drugs and so many other things. So he had a little bit of intelligence, somehow or eventually he became the temple president of San Francisco. He was a little bit organized, so he left his taxi cab job. And then, was there Nectar Devotion he paid for? I thought Krishna Mukha was George Harrison. Yes. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. All right. Janardhan Maharaj, let's take his word. He had some savings, $5,000. Now, $5,000 is nothing nowadays, but those days that was like $50,000. You know. So he donated that to, emptied out a savings account, life savings, and gave it to Srila Prabhupada so he could print Teaching of the Lord Chaitanya, which is a wonderful book. There's one chapter one time called The Beauty of Krishna. And one time they were reading that chapter, or Prabhupada was reading that chapter, and tears came in his eyes. And Prabhupada said, I didn't know that I could write so nicely about Krishna. You read that chapter, The Beauty of Krishna and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's amazing, the description. So beautiful and very poetic. Prabhupada got tears in his eyes. I didn't know I could write so nicely about Krishna, so beautifully about Krishna. So then, somehow, the year before, they had done a Rath Yatra, but they just got a flatbed truck and they put, you know, Lord Jagannath looking one side, Lord Baladev looking one side, and Goddess Subhadra looking back. They're all looking three ways with just a little pyramid dome over top, just in the back of a truck. And we knew so little about deity worship at that time. They drove that truck with the deities all the way up to Prabhupada's, because Prabhupada was ill at that time, so he couldn't attend. So they had rented some nice quiet place on the beach. But it was a quite windy road to get there. So they drove the king's deity back to the temple where they're supposed to go. Jai Sisi Gornitai Krishna Balaram Sisi Radha Shamsan. They drove the deities up to Prabhupada's house. Prabhupada was sort of shocked. So anyway, by the next time, Jayananda had joined, and he was very expert. He was also a mechanic. So you would see Jayananda sometimes, he would be covered with black grease and underneath the temple cars, fixing the cars. Even when he was temple president, he would fix the temple cars. So he was a very handy fellow. So he thought, let's make an actual Rath. So they got some picture. It wasn't actually Puri Rath. It was some Rath from South India with like eight or nine little domes on it, canopies. So Jayananda made this Rath Yatra. You could go on YouTube and look for Jayananda. You can see that there's a whole, I was watching last night, Jayananda's whole life story. You can see him walking in the park, Golden Gate Park with Prabhupada and so many things. But you can see this Rath Yatra. It was very low because they figured they couldn't make it tall because there's so many wires, and in the Golden Gate Park there was a bridge they had to go underneath. So he made it, they got out the Encyclopedia Britannica and they saw a picture of Rath from South India. So they made it sort of like a South Indian Rath, very low. But then Jayananda was very handy, so he got the idea, we can make a Rath just like Jagannath Puri, big tall one, but we'll just get a crank. And when we need to make it low, then a little crank down, and then we want to jack it back up. He was very innovative for the adapting to the American scene. Because in Puri, the Rath doesn't stop for anything. If something's in the way, you break it. But we can't go down tearing down the bridge in Golden Gate Park so that Lord Jagannath can pass through. So he made a crank system. And Jayananda, he had a very special way. I remember one devotee said, Jayananda, we want to go looking for materials. And he jumped in the truck with Jayananda and they drove around all day. And he looked, he saw there was these big, you know, I don't know what else to call them, spools, but they're huge, you know, about 6 foot tall, that you wrap up cable. You know, just like we see they're digging up all the streets of Vrindavan, laying this big black cable. So they wrap them up on these big wooden spools. So Jayananda noted those because they'd be good for making the wheels for the cart. And then he saw some lumber somewhere. And the devotee couldn't understand why Jayananda wasn't picking anything up or buying anything. He was just going around the city and noting where all these things were. Because Jayananda was, he always liked to save money, so he was in the midnight auto supply business. Most of you, unless you're from America, you can't understand that. Then in the night, Jayananda woke him up, and at night they went around to all those places where he'd seen these things lying around, and they loaded them up in the cart for free. We call it five-finger discount. So in this way, anyway, anyhow, Jayananda got the wood together and he made this cart. So then the next year they decided they're going to have three carts. And they found that these huge wooden wheels were very unwieldy. So he thought he would make them out of iron. So they made three carts, this time with iron wheels with spokes. And unfortunately, they didn't put enough spokes. So what happened, the carts were very heavy. So when the carts started rolling, because if there's lots of spokes, then there's support. But there's only a few spokes. So that place in between the spokes flattened out. As the wheels turned, gradually it flattened out. So Bhaktisiddhanta was there. I wasn't there for that one. I've been there for many Radhya, but I wasn't there for that one. And the wheels weren't synchronized. So all the wheels were many-sided, you know, like an octagon, not a round thing. So they were sort of, the carts were sort of, but Bhaktisiddhanta, he'd never seen a Rathiya. He thought that was the way it was supposed to be. He thought it was fantastic. Big, tall cart, because you imagine when it's tall, a little bump down here feels like, makes a big, you know, there's a little bump down here, but on the top, just like we had that earthquake, you know, everybody was high up, they could feel it more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So the big canopy was just waving back and forth, and the car was like, it was like it was walking instead of rolling, it was like walking down. He thought that was the way it was supposed to be. He thought, wow, this is really far out, wow. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, from the bouncing, Baladev's cart started to fall apart. So there was Jayananda trying to hold all the wood together, and eventually they had to leave that cart and put Baladev with Lord Jagannath. So anyway, they learned this next year they made more spokes for the Rathiyata carts. But during Rathiyata time, nobody saw when Jayananda slept. He was constant, especially toward the end of building the Rath. He was always busy. And he was very expert in engaging other people. And he always made sure those on his Rathiyatra building party got lots of prasad. Jayananda was very, very fond of prasad. We'll tell a story in a minute about Jayananda and prasad. One of my favorite stories. He was very... In fact, Jayananda personally told me, because most of the time when you're sick, they generally recommend that you fast. But Jayananda was so merciful, he personally told me, when I'm sick, I eat more so the germs will get liberated. So people would walk by and start just looking at the cart, and Jayananda would, hey, come here, you. He was, you know, expert in engaging people, encouraging them to do some service. He was always engaged in doing service, and he was very expert in engaging others to do service. So he would somehow, drunks would come, he would somehow completely, you know, people that, you know, we would just, you know, send them on their way. Jayananda, he would somehow engage them, he empowered people. In fact, one young yippie boy came by, and he was looking at the work, and Jayananda told him, you want to help? Well, that's cool, man. Here, I want you to hold this nail while I hit it. You hold it really straight. It's got to be really straight. You got to hold it really straight. And then Jayananda hit the nail. He said, wow, are you a carpenter? You really held that nail straight. I never saw anybody. Are you a carpenter? He said, no, I never done this. I'm like, no, you don't. You're lying. You must be a carpenter. You really held that nail straight. I never saw anybody hold it so straight. Here, now you try it. I'm going to hold it. Now you try and hit it. You know? And then the boy, he hit the nail. He said, wow, you're a natural. I never saw anybody that was empowering people, you know. The guy had never probably picked up a hammer in his life, you know. So you sure you're not a carpenter? You really, here, now you do both. You hold the nail and hit it, you know. And then he said, you got to go all the way down this line and around the other side and come. And this boy who just happened by, this hippie boy who just happened by, was there all day, you know, pounding nails in the Rathiyatra cart. Because Jayananda empowered people. He gave them in Krishna's service. You know who that boy became? Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. That was the power of Jayananda. He empowered people, encouraged people. We're very expert nowadays at discouraging people, but Jayananda was very expert in encouraging people. And people would just, he would be, at the end of the construction, nobody saw Jayananda sleep. He would be on the, he would be here, there, and he would get donations. He would go to the vegetable markets and get vegetables and fruits donated for the Rath Yatra. In fact, he used to do that all week long for the temple. Because those days, it's not like nowadays where, you know, you go to the temple and they serve you nice cashews and raisins and halava and sweet rice. You know, we were very poor those days, so we just, whatever we got for free, that's what we cooked. So Jayananda would go to the markets, the wholesale markets, and get things donated. And people loved him. He had such a aura about him. Because all these guys in the vegetable market, they're all Italian mafiosos, you know, very heavy-duty fellows. But they were all touched by Jayananda. He'd always had prasada. He'd always bring some cookies or something, and he'd always have prasadam for them, and he got so many things donated. I remember when, I don't remember which year it was, Rath Yatra, but we came. He got 1 ton of plums, aloo bukar. 1 ton donated, 2,000 pounds, 1,000 kilos. And then he rented a place, and we had all that. We were there early, so we were inside the plum. There's a pit, there's a seed, but that seed's got little edges on it, like this. So we were doing, we were pitting them, breaking them open, and they were making plum chutney with them, and pulling at that pit. At first it was fun, but after a while you're breaking it, and you know that pit has got this little serrated edge. You know, after a while your thumb became very bright red. But we were all engaged. Another Rath Yatra, Jayananda. I came down from Portland, and when Jayananda was on his traveling Radha Damodar bus, he came one time to Portland. He told me, he said, this is New Vrindavan and Portland, the two places that have nice prasadam. So he knew I was a good cook. So one year I was temple president, I came down to Rath Yatra in San Francisco. Jayananda came and he put his hand around my shoulder and said, I want you to cook 1 ton of potatoes and 1 ton of cauliflower. Because he had this special cooker, we call it a steamer. It's all made out of stainless steel, and it's hollow, and steam goes through. And there's two containers that are closed on three sides. Steam is coming on all three sides. Of front is the door. And you put like 50 pounds of potatoes in one container and 50 pounds in the other container, and you seal it shut, and then you turn it on, and the steam comes through, and within a few minutes you have steamed potatoes. And then it had a big bowl, like big pot like this, huge, it was this big, that was also hollow inside, so all the steam went around. So I would pull the potatoes out of there and throw them in the pot. We throw in the sour cream, and then throw in the green peppers and tomatoes, and throw in all the spices. And I spent the whole night cooking 2 tons of cauliflower and potatoes sabji with sour cream. By the end of the night, I was cooked. But that was Jayananda. It didn't matter. You were a temple president. He engaged you in Krishna's service. In fact, there's so many stories about Jayananda. He would do any service. You would see, even when he was temple president, you see Jayananda carrying out the garbage, taking the big garbage can and taking it out back to the temple to throw it in the garbage dump. I remember one year Jai Rishi Prabhu was here from LA. Is he still in LA? Jai Rishi, he told us that in Los Angeles they always heard that in San Francisco there's a pure devotee. There's this devotee named Jayananda, he's a pure devotee. So he was always thinking, oh, I want to meet the pure devotee. And he had this idea, he's got spotless kurta, completely ironed, and spotless iron dhoti, and you know, beautiful tilak, and you know, completely shaved head, and just his feet aren't even touching the ground. He's walking around in the clouds, you know, meditating on Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So he came to San Francisco, and he was walking around the temple, and he was thinking, I want to meet this pure devotee. And he saw some legs hanging up from underneath the car, because they have this little flat thing with wheels on it. You can roll underneath the car on your back and you can work. And he saw these legs. And his voice came, Prabhu, can you hand me that wrench over there? You know, and then he picked up the wrench and he handed it underneath the car. And then, thank you very much, Prabhu. And then all of a sudden this guy rolls up from underneath the car, completely covered from head to foot, wearing these pants that looked like they weren't actually cloth, it was holes held together with strings, with thread. Dayananda's clothes were so raggedy. And he rolled up from underneath the car. What's your name, Prabhu? He said, my name is Jai Rishi. What's your name, Prabhu? He said, my name is Jayananda. Boy, his tikka was stood on end. This is a pure devotee? But this is what it takes to become a pure devotee, to do anything, whatever Krishna's service, we're ready to do anything, even take out the garbage. He was preaching to one person one time. He said, you must be somebody big in this organization. He said, no, I'm the janitor. That guy said, I can't forget who it was, but he became a devotee. He said, this is the janitor, and he's so elevated. You know, what must the other devotees be like? And I can remember times, Jayananda was really into prasadam. So one time he went into the Didi kitchen. He picked up the whole tray of Mahaprasad, Didi Mahaprasad. He very naturally walked out the door. He walked out the back door of the temple, went out to the parking lot, sat down and had a feast. He just looked like he was taking it somewhere to distribute. But my favorite story of Jayananda and Prasad was one time there was a temple in San Francisco, there was a temple in Berkeley. At that time, Dhanavir was the temple president in Berkeley. And Dhanavir, we used to call him Mr. Enthusiasm. He was always very, very enthusiastic. But in those days, he was a little bit naive. So they called up, Jayananda called up, there was two characters in San Francisco. There was Jayananda and there was Keshava. Keshava was a wonderful devotee. He also has left this world now. But he did a lot of service for Prabhupada. So Keshava called up Dhanavir, I don't say Dayananda, Dhanavir. It said, we got this engagement in Oakland, in the penitentiary. And we want you to make lots of halava with a lot of butter. Because in the West anyway, we make halava with butter. Here we make it with ghee. But I tell you, if you make halava with butter, it has got a different taste and texture. Isn't it? There's just nothing like butter halava. So you got to make it with lots of butter and put lots of raisins and lots of cashews and nuts in it. And then you make simply wonderfuls with lots of butter and strawberries and so many things. And then we'll come over and pick up the Berkeley devotees and we'll go to this program in the penitentiary type of, it's a big type of jail where the hardened criminals are kept. You know, there's one jail where you go when you're being kept before trial and after you're sentenced, then you go to the penitentiary to do your penance. So they had this truck. It didn't even have the gas pedal was gone. So Jayananda tied a string around his toe and a string to the little peg that was where the gas pedal was. And somehow or other he managed to drive it like that, and with his left foot he would work the brake somehow or another. And there was the glass between the cab and the back of the panel truck was broken out so that they could talk back and forth. So they drove over to Berkeley and picked up all the Berkeley devotees, loaded up all the prasadam, and they're driving down the road. And Jayananda says to Keshava, so that in the back they can hear, you know, Keshava? And he's driving along with a string around his toe to the gas pedal. And then driving along and he's saying, you know, Keshav, I bet the devotees would be really enthusiastic to distribute prasadam if they had a taste. Why, Jayananda, I think that's a great idea. That's a good idea, Jayananda. Hey, back there in the back, serve out some halava and simply wonderful to all the devotees. Send two plates up here. There's Jayananda with a string around his toe to the gas pedal, you know, and driving down the road eating halava and Simply Wonderful. And Jayananda says to Keshava, "Hey, Dhanavir really made nice halava, nice Simply Wonderfuls. Why don't we have some more?" "Jayananda, I think that's a great idea. Hey, pass out some more to all the devotees. Send two more plates up front." You know, so they're going down the road and they just kept passing out halava and passing out Simply Wonderfuls and passing out. Then all of a sudden, Dhanavir looked in the trays of Simply Wonderfuls. There's nothing but crumbs. You know, you roll the Simply Wonderfuls in powdered milk. So there's little crumbs. So there's just the powdered milk crumbs left in the trays. And he looked in the bottom of the pot. There's just hardly just a few crumbs of halava. And Dhanavir thought, "Oh, no! That prasad that was meant for the fallen conditioned souls, by our lust we've eaten it all!" "Oh no, now what are we going to do?" Then they drove up to the penitentiary. They got to the gate, you know. And the guard comes out, he opens up the side door of the truck. He says, "You don't have any food in here, do you? You know it's illegal to bring food inside the penitentiary." "No, sir, we don't have any food in here." They knew all along, but they took advantage of Dhanavir's little bit of naivete. And that was Jayananda. He loved prasadam. And I told about his clothes. His clothes weren't cloth, it was just holes held together with a few threads. And the devotees were embarrassed, you know. Jayananda would be working in front of the temple underneath the car, you know. He'd come out in his greasy pants with holes and everything in them. So they kept badgering him, you gotta buy some pants, Jayananda. You can't look like this, you know. But Jayananda never wanted to waste any of Prabhupada's money. So finally the devotees get real heavy. He says, "You gotta go. There's a place called the Salvation Army. People donate their old clothes and they clean it up and fix a few holes in it, and then they sell it for, you know, like you buy a pair of pants in those days for 25 cents or 50 cents or something. T-shirt for 10 cents. So they told him, "You got to go to the Salvation Army and buy some clothes." The Jayananda wasn't into it at all. So he went to the Salvation Army. He found a pair, because he was big. That is, listening to a recording last night, Prabhupada said, "Oh, here comes Jayananda. He looks like Lord Chaitanya. Very tall and stout." That was Lord Chaitanya. Our Jayananda, he looks like Lord Chaitanya. He's very big, tall, 6 foot tall. You see the pictures of Jayananda towering. Prabhupada, although Prabhupada always looked so big, actually he was very small. And you see this Jayananda walking with pants and shirt with Prabhupada in Golden Gate Park. So he finally found a pair of pants. It wasn't easy to find him because he was over 6 feet tall. But then he started thinking, "I don't want to waste Prabhupada's money on this pants just for me." So he went and they have a dressing room. You go and you try the pants on, see if it works, you know, look in front of the mirror, you know. And so then he thought, "Well, I'll just pull my old pants over the new ones and walk out of the store, put the new shirt over the old one, the old shirt over the new one, and walk out of the store without paying." So Jayananda tried to walk out of the store, but naturally his shirt was full of holes, his pants were full of holes, they could see the new shirt and pants underneath. So the security guard grabbed him. They took him down and they booked him. And then they had a day in court. So then the policeman who booked him came, you know, to testify that I caught him stealing and this and that. So the judge says, "So, Mr. Kaur, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty?" And Jayananda said, "Well, can I say something before I plead?" And judge said, "All right." "Well, you see, judge, I have dedicated my whole life to God. Everything I do is for the service of the Lord. And all the money I have, I use for the service of the Lord. And my companions, they were forcing me to buy some new pants But you know, I was thinking, this is God's money. How can I spend God's money on me? You know, I just couldn't do it, sir. Your Honor, I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't spend that money on myself. You know, I started crying. And the judge started crying. I just could not, sorry, sir, I just couldn't spend God's money on my own personal self, you know. And the judge started crying. And the policeman said, I'll pay for it. Just a case dismissed. Bam, 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 case dismissed. That was Jayananda. The Jayarishi told us another story. Jayananda, he always fed the devotees who were working on the carts with lots of halava and lots of prasadam. One time he grabbed Jayarishi and they went down to the Ras site, and they're working all night. Very late at night they came back to the temple. And Jayarishi knew that Jayananda doesn't sleep. He'll go back to the Rath cart and start working again. So he crawled inside a closet and shut the door and went to sleep. Sure enough, about 6 o'clock in the morning, the closet door opens up and this hand comes on his back. Prabhu, you want to help some more? This hand was massaging his back. He said, Prabhu, can you help some more? That was Jayananda. And in the vegetable markets, because they couldn't say Jayananda, so he used to call himself Jani Ananda. So all the vegetable people, they all knew him as Jani Ananda. After Jayananda left, somebody also would take up that service. And everybody always asked, and these are rough, tough, you know, mafiosos, Italian mafioso guys ready to kill somebody. You can pay them off to kill somebody. You know, they're mafias. So they asked, where's Johnny? They always ask, where's Johnny? I said, well, Jayananda's passed on. These heavy-duty mafioso guys started crying when they heard that Jayananda left this world. After Jayananda left, another devotee had the service of getting the Bratiyata became so popular in San Francisco that even the mayor declared Bratiyata Day, an official Bratiyata Day in San Francisco. Because Jayananda, he was very expert at getting the permits. He always brought prasad and he was so charming. So after he left, there was one devotee had to do the service to get all the permits. He finally had to give it signed by the head of the department. Now this is many, 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 many years ago. So the head of the department was a woman. Now that was very unusual in those days because, you know, being a head of any department, that was a man's job. So to get to that position, you had to be a really tough woman in those days. Because it's not like nowadays. This is old, old, old days. So you had to be a really tough woman to get to a top position in the government. So that devotee came to get the final signature. And this lady who had made it to the top of her department, she said, where's Johnny? And the devotee said, well, Jayananda's passed on. Here's this lady in front of a complete stranger. She's a tough lady, made it to the top of her department in the old days before women's liberation and all this is the beginning. She fell on her desk and started weeping uncontrollably in front of a stranger. That was Jayananda. He touched people's hearts. So once they got the Rathiyatra started in San Francisco, Jayananda knew he had to do Rathiyatra in New York. Because that was Prabhupada's dream, to go down Fifth Avenue. Of course, we know that Kunj Gully is the most important street in the whole world, in the whole universe. But as far as by material estimation, Fifth Avenue is the street in the world. And Jayananda wanted to have Rathiyatra. He managed to get the permits, he managed to get everything. And he was working on a cart there in New York. They found a parking lot where they, you know, next to these big tall apartment buildings, and they're working on the cart. And again, same thing, he took some devotee from New York and they go around in the daytime and find materials, but they wouldn't pick them up in the daytime, and in the nighttime they would go and pick them all up. And unbeknownst to anybody, Jayananda was very, very sick. It later turned out he had leukemia. But he was working very, he kept his sickness hidden from everyone. But Keshav Bharati was there in the New York temple. So one night, he just happened to open his door to go to the bathroom and he saw Jayananda come back late at night from working on the cart. And Jayananda was walking down the hall, doubled over like this. He said, "Jayananda, what's the matter?" He said, "Nothing's the matter. No, I saw you walking down the hall. What's the matter?" "Nothing's the matter." "Look, Jayananda, I saw you. What's the matter?" He said, "Nothing's the matter." He said, "Jayananda, you can't fool me. Will you promise you won't tell anybody till after Rath Yatra is over?" "As I promise. But only, I promise, only if after Rath Yatra you'll go to the doctor and find out what's wrong." And then Jayananda pulled up his kurta, and there were these big sores all over his body. He said, "I don't know what it is." Seeing that, Keshav Bharati was shocked. He said, "You should immediately go to the doctor," but he promised and he wouldn't say anything. So then after Rath Yatra was over, and that was the Rath Yatra, you can see the picture, Jayananda dancing in front of the cart down Fifth Avenue, Prabhupada so happy. We started out just down at Mahatma Gandhi Road in Calcutta, pulling a little toy. Now Prabhupada's going down the most important street of the world with Rath Yatra. Jayananda's so happy. And they went from, I can't remember which place, they went down to Washington Square Park. And after Rath Yatra, nobody could find Jayananda anywhere. They're looking everywhere for him. Finally, somebody spotted him. He figured out nobody would ever find him. He crawled up in the top of the canopy of the cart, and on a couple of beams that went across, he lay down and went to sleep up top of the canopy of the cart. So then Keshav Bharati said, "Look," the next day he said, "I kept my promise. Now you got to go to the doctor." So Jayananda went to the hospital, and he called Keshav Bharati. He said, "They have leukemia. They said there's no cure. I may live for another 6 months. I want you to come to the hospital. I want you to bring some kartals and a whole tray of burfi." And Keshav Bharati, he's dying of leukemia and he's just thinking about eating burfi. So he went down to the hospital. And there's Jayananda, he's lying in the bed, he's got the drip, you know, going on and everything. Somehow he had a little pocket knife, he told Keshav Bharati to cut up the burfi in little diamond shapes. So Keshav Bharati cut it all up. Then Jayananda got out of the bed, he grabbed onto the little thing that, you know, the little thing that the drip is hanging on. He said, you know, and he says, he told Keshav Bharati, take the burfi and follow me. And Keshav, what's going on? This guy is dying and he's just getting out of the bed, carrying the drip along with him. And they went down to the TV room. And Jayananda turned off the TV. He told Keshav Bharati to give a speech because he's too weak to give a speech. To give him, teach him how to chant the holy name. Because Jayananda, he'd already endeared everybody in the hospital. Everybody loved him. He said, you tell them about chanting the holy name and get them to chant. And then after they chanted, then Jayananda had Keshav Bharati distribute prasadam. Jayananda is about to die. He's still thinking how to save the fallen souls. That was Jayananda. So this is his... So then he went to Mexico. I met one devotee who... There was one devotee here one time from Mexico who was in L.A. Can't remember his name just now. But he accompanied Jayananda down to Mexico. Because if anything, you have alternative cures, then you can't... If anything cures cancer or any problem, it's illegal. So you have to go to Mexico or some other country where you can do these treatments. So Jayananda made this special big pot of peanut butter halava. And they're going in the bus. And Jayananda kept eating peanut butter halava and feeding to this boy. This boy ate so much peanut butter halava, he just conked out, because the halava is heavy, especially with peanut butter in it. The boy conked out. He didn't remember when they got to, when they finally got to go through immigration. And Jayananda woke him up, and he doesn't know anything what happened. Anyway, somehow that treatment didn't work in Mexico, so he came back to die. But he thought, we got to do Rath Yatra in L.A. Now this was a big thing, because everybody, San Francisco devotees, you do Adrati in L.A., then no one will come to San Francisco, because San Francisco is the Rath Yatra. So okay, you can do it on the East Coast, but on the West Coast, it's San Francisco. But then Jayananda was convinced, we can have both places. We can have many Rath Yatras. Anyway, somehow he was completely bedridden, but he called up his old friends, get donations to buy the stuff, he made the design. They would bring him in a wheelchair, he would look it over, the progress, they would take advice from him. He was staying across the street from the temple and apartment buildings there. And getting weaker and weaker and weaker. One day, he was so weak he could hardly move. And the devotees came, said, Jayananda, you have to come to the Rath cart, to the parking lot, because there's a problem and we can't figure it out. They put him in a wheelchair and they brought him to the parking lot. There was no problem. It was Jayananda's birthday and they knew he wouldn't come if they told him. They made a birthday party for him. They made a cake in the form of a Rath Yatra cart. They even invited his parents. And Jayananda, he saw this Rath Yatra cake, and he started preaching about the importance of Rath Yatra. The more he preached, the more strength he got. He pushed himself out of his wheelchair and was waving his arms and preaching about the importance of Rath Yatra. His parents were standing behind him with tears coming down their eyes. All the devotees were crying. Then finally Jayananda sat down like that into the wheelchair. And then Jayananda cut up that card and distributed prasadam to all the devotees. That was Jayananda. Finally he got very weak. They had somebody always staying with them. They were always playing Prabhupada's tape, bhajans and lectures. And on this Trayadasi day of Vaisakh, it was Mangalarti time. Nobody told him to do it. One brahmachari just got inspired to go get the garland from Lord Jagannath from the day before. He got Lord Jagannath's garland. He came over to the apartment where Jayananda was staying. Across the street, you could hear the conch shell blowing. Mangalarti was about to start. He brought that garland. Jayananda was listening to Prabhupada chant. He put that garland in Jayananda, Hare Krishna, and left this world. That was Jayananda. So Prabhupada wrote a letter. It's interesting, that letter. Prabhupada writes it in to Jayananda. Jayananda's left, but probably, my dear Jayananda, please accept my blessings. And goes on saying that you were serving very nicely. I'm sure you've gone to a better destination, but actually, since you were always engaged in Krishna's service, I'm sure you've gone back to home, back to God. He wrote it in that, like a letter like that, like Jayananda was still there. You can see whenever the Jayananda's disappearance day in that BTG, they always print that letter. So he was very dear to Srila Prabhupada in that way, because he was totally surrendered. In fact, he came to India, he didn't like India, there wasn't any service for him to do here. They finally got Jayananda to India, but he wanted to go back and do service. He always liked to serve. And that's how we get the mercy of the spiritual master, by serving. Any service, taking out the garbage or whatever. Jayanand, even as temple president, you could see him taking out the garbage, working on the temple cars. Everything is spiritual. Krishna's service. So Prabhupada ordered that whenever we have Rath Yatra, we have to have Jayananda's photo in the Rath Yatra cart. And I've been all around the world, and I see wherever I see Rath Yatra, they always have Jayananda's picture on the cart. So, time is up, but maybe Manavati, you want to say something? You must have some pastime with Jayananda. Is there a microphone? Anybody else had any association? I think Bhakti Siddhanta Sirai told all of his stories. Then I think there's some peanut butter halava. Oh, it's right beside me. So everybody can come up and we'll have peanut butter halava, Jayananda's favorite. Jayananda Thakur ki!